All right, I call the meeting to order. We do not have a quorum, but we will proceed. And there'll be no final action until the quorum is present. Representative Scott, would you like to start on your bill discussion? House File 518?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill is another bill out of our custody dialogue group, and this bill addresses compensatory parenting time when one parent repeatedly and intentionally withholds court-ordered parenting time from the other parent. The bill outlines how a court remedies these situations if it finds one parent has been withholding court-ordered parenting time, unless the court finds the denial was necessary to protect the child's physical or emotional health. Section 3 of the bill says that parties can make a private agreement that limits or stops modification or maintenance through stipulation if the court finds such an agreement is fair and equitable. And Section 4 addresses providing proper income tax documentation to the other party. This expands the language that now requires the tax return. So in cases where someone hasn't done that yet, filed a tax return or got that documentation or have that document in their possession, they would have to provide all substantiating tax documents. The final section addresses alternative start dates for child support modification than what is currently allowed. And I do have a testifier this morning that can go over the bill in more detail and kind of give the whys and wherefores of the bill.
Thank you. Representative Scott, before we do that, we do have a quorum, so we're going to approve the meeting minutes from our last meeting. Representative Vogel moves for approval of the meeting minutes from February 10th. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The motion prevails for the minutes of February 10th, 2015 are approved.
Mr. Chair, I would like to move House File 518, please. And have it held over for possible inclusion in a family law omnibus bill.
So noted. Thank you. Please stay. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Melinda Hugdahl from Legal Aid. I will just walk through the provisions of the bill. Section 1 is really a wording change. Current law says that there's a presumption that a parent is entitled to receive at least 25%. That was changed to a minimum. There were folks in the dialogue group, this is a dialogue process bill, that felt that was clearer language, and so that's the change there. Section 2 of the bill talks about enforcement of parenting time orders. So these are folks who have an order for parenting time. There's a court order existing. It may be being worked out as well with what's called a parenting time expediter, which is a professional that's created under statute appointed by the court to interpret the court's order, and they can make binding decisions. So essentially what this section of the bill does is says if there's significant time that's missed, the court, under the court order, the court can order compensatory time. So think, for example, a person missed winter break and significant amount of time, the court can look at that unless it's not in the child's best interest. That's really very similar to what's in existing law. So that piece, we put in significant time because we don't want people to come in on the court with every single one and one and one and one. We want it to be cases where there's been some significant pieces. Hopefully the one-off situations people can be working out. If there's a repeated intentional denial that wasn't necessary to protect the child's physical or emotional health, the court then has to order compensatory parenting time. And these are situations where a person has a court order, they have a schedule, it's repeatedly not being followed, and it's not a situation where it's because the child needs to be protected. So that's the second piece of this. They also can order the existing civil sanctions. That's actually not a change from current law. That could be done now. The third piece of it is that if they've had a previous finding by the court under the earlier section and they keep repeatedly violating the order and not providing parenting time, then the court's required to order compensatory parenting time unless it was done to protect the child. And they must consider one of the civil penalties that are already existing in the statute. So the penalty part of the civil penalties, the existing penalties, we're not changing those. We're just trying to put some more enforcement in there for people who are not following court order repeatedly. And the penalty really comes in most likely at the point where it's been repeated and repeated and the court has told them to follow the order. So that's that section of the bill. Section 3 is a provision about spousal maintenance, and under current law, a lot of parties agree to what's called a Karen waiver, which divests the court of any jurisdiction to later look at maintenance. And under current law, you can't ever come back and restore that jurisdiction. So this is a very, very limited exception to that, that if the parties have a binding agreement to change their maintenance piece, they can restore that jurisdiction and have maintenance re-looked at. It can only be done by agreement. Providing income information, this is a provision that really is talking about financial documentation and getting at first changes that we really talked about complete tax returns. We want to be clear that if you filed taxes and you're in a dissolution action, that parties are providing all of their income information. That was the intent of the law. It's just that it's not always being followed of getting everything. The other piece is that if a person hasn't filed taxes, then they have to provide the underlying documentation. So that was the intent of that piece, is we wanted to make sure that if a person hadn't filed taxes, that at least the other party could get access to whatever underlying documentation they had and not use the provision up above to say, well, I don't have tax returns, so there's nothing that I have to provide.
Excuse me, sure. Ms. Hugdahl, there's a question from Representative Lesh.
Thank you, Ms. Chair and Ms. Hugdahl. What's the verification for underlying documentation? If you file a return, you've signed off on the return under penalty of perjury, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Should I have to write a memo and say, I promise these are the accurate numbers, or what do you mean by the underlying documentation?
Ms. Hugdahl.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, Representative Lesh. The underlying documentation are the 1099s, the W-2s, and the K-1 forms. So if you have filed taxes, the word complete implies that you're going to give the other party everything you filed with the Internal Revenue Service or state taxes. If you haven't filed a tax return, then you have to provide those three forms of underlying the documentation. It's really getting out so people can get an accurate picture of what a party's income is. And so sometimes these forms will give a good picture even if they haven't filed taxes.
Okay. Well, I had another question, but I can ask it offline, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
The next section of the bill is about modifying child support or maintenance orders. So this is a case where someone, under current law, if you bring a motion for modification, that's the date of which the modification can go back to. This provides an extremely limited exception to that. And we're being very careful about that because we know that we can't go too far with this issue with an alternative effective date. So we've talked a lot about this. Essentially, the limited grounds are the parties have entered into a binding agreement for a different effective date. So you filed your motion, but effectively you want it to start earlier. Both parties agree to that. A party fails to provide income information that's provided under the statute. So again, if there has been a person who hasn't provided information they were supposed to. And the third is that if the court finds that a party violated a court order to disclose the income and the other party acted in reliance on the order to their detriment. So if they've been going along and they understood documents would be disclosed, they didn't file a motion because they were waiting for the documents, that then when they file it, they're not stuck with that later date. This is really getting at folks not using the timelines to avoid a partial payment for a few months of child support. So that's what this is getting at, is trying to really tighten that up so that people aren't using some of the process to advantage themselves with child support or spousal maintenance payments.
Any other questions? Okay. Is Ms. Callum... Okay, is there any other testifiers from the public, or would you like to testify?
Yes.
Yep, please come forward and state your name. Thank you, Ms. Hugdahl. Please state your name for the record. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I'm Lisa Calamine. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm here on behalf of the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, standing in for Michael Dittberner, who's normally here reciting the cases off the top of his head. I'm here to testify to our support of this bill. We really believe in the bill, as does the committee who did this together. And if anybody has any questions about the reasons we do, I can help answer some of those too. We especially like the idea that a lot of these provisions give people the ability to form their own contracts without interference from the state, without interference from the courts.
Thank you, Ms. Calamine. Any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Is Ms. Sommerfeld? Okay, all right, thank you. All right, so is there any other discussion on this bill? Okay, if not, House File 518 will be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right, on to House File 497.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Do I have a motion to bring House File 497 before the committee?
I would like to move House File 497 to be heard and held over for possible inclusion in a family law bill. Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
House File 497 was brought to me by my Anoka County folks, and this bill addresses arrears. This bill gives the courts the ability to enforce a specific monthly payback amount other than the 20% of the order for support in income withholding situations, which is the current law. And I do have a testifier here to speak on behalf of the bill.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Rhonda Antrim. I'm the Human Service Director for Traverse County, and I'm here representing MAXA. And this bill would require changes to Minnesota Statutes 518A.53 and 518A.60. It would simplify the child support process by reducing inquiries by parents as to why the amount being withheld from their income is greater than what the court had ordered. It would improve quality, efficiency, integrity, and accountability of services and streamline and simplify the processes between the counties. Right now, every county handles things a little bit different. There's a lot of workarounds. When the income withholding orders print, they print the following day, so you have to go back and duplicate working on those cases and either white out the amounts and correct them, or some counties just send them out and those obligors end up paying more than what they should. So this would eliminate some of those issues. The current law requires employers to withhold the obligor's income at 20% of the monthly obligation if they owe past support. When the obligor is going to pay the dollar amount in arrears, that 20% is added as well. So if a court order orders $100 on arrears and we enter that into the system will add another 20%, and that can become a hardship for the obligor. Under the current law, if the court orders a specific dollar amount payback, the staff need to do the manual workaround like I explained and go in and get the orders the next day and wipe them out and change them if that's how that county operates. If the law was changed, the custodial parent would receive the amount ordered and not any additional amount, and the non-custodial parent would pay the amount that is withheld from their income per the court order and not any extra. There is federal legislation as well that's going to be requiring counties to implement electronic income withholding, and we will not be able to do that unless this part is fixed, because it'll add that extra 20%, and then they'll be incorrect and it'll become a hardship on the obligors. So is there any questions?
Any questions? Representative Pinto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I just want to confirm, so MAXA does support the bill?
Yep. Our MAXA Child Support Committee meets with DHS every month and have a unified proposal, but DHS has not, the governor hasn't put it in his bill yet, but we did work in conjunction with them on all of our positions, as well as MFSRC and AMC.
All right. Any other questions? Is there anyone from the audience that wishes to testify on this issue? Okay, thank you, Ms. Antrim.
Thank you.
All right, is there any other additional discussion on this bill? Seeing none, House File 497 will be laid over for possible inclusion in an omnibus bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And with no other business before the committee, this committee is adjourned.